Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1937, with a release date of September 26, 2014, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Brazil will propose a permanent 60-meter ham radio allocation. Rules restructuring underway in Australia and Austria. The FCC turns down a petition to create a 4-meter band in the USA. The ARRL simulated emergency test to be held October 4th and 5th. A ham radio flood relief effort in India is stalled by government red tape. And the Dayton Hamvention begins soliciting nominations for its 2015 awards program. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1937, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jim Dameron, NATMW.
Anatel, which is the National Telecommunications Agency of Brazil, will propose new 60-meter amateur service allocation from 5275 to 5450 kilohertz. This at the next meeting of the Inter-American Telecommunication Commission, or CITEL, slated to take place from September 29th to October 4th at Merida City, Mexico. Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, has the details.
The decision to move forward occurred on September 11th at the Brazilian Communications Commission. This is a consultative committee for WRC 15 subjects formed by government, industry, and representatives of the society and is led by Anatel. The 5275 to 5450 kilohertz contiguous secondary allocation is the widest segment recently suggested by compatibility and sharing studies at the ITU. Even so, the preliminary proposal will also consider national adaptation since it will include a footnote where it is described that each national administration can provide additional constraints to provide further compatibility with existing services and other national and local spectrum realities. As reported, Canada also plans to introduce a similar request at the upcoming meeting. In its case, the proposal will be for a split allocation running from 5.330 to 5.355 megahertz, and the second beginning at 5.405 and ending at 5.430 megahertz. In both proposals, the amateur service would be on a secondary, non-interfering basis to existing 60-meter spectrum users. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in South Mississippi.
Despite Canada and Brazil being the first countries in Region 2 to officially support amateur service around 5,300 megahertz, several others already have authorized domestic allocations considering past successful experiments. The Wireless Institute of Australia is seeking input from the VK ham community on possible new regulations to bring before that nation's telecommunications regulator, as we hear from Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH.
The regulation that governs amateur radio in Australia, known as the License Conditions Determination, or LCD, will expire on the 1st of October next year. The Australian Communications and Media Authority, the ACMA, has to remake the LCD so that regulation of the amateur service continues after that date. This offers the WIA and the Australian amateur community an opportunity to rethink how best to regulate the amateur service now and for the future. The LCD sets out how the three license grades operate, their frequency bands, the transmission modes that may be used, and maximum permitted powers. The WIA sees the need to better align the LCD with the regulations prevailing in other countries, particularly for foundation and standard licensees, and license conditions set to enable Australian amateurs to adapt to emerging technologies. A new LCD should reduce unnecessary regulatory burdens on both amateurs and the ACMA. A major issue raised by the board is that the remade amateur LCD must include direct reference to the electromagnetic emissions, or EME, requirements all amateurs must meet, so that every amateur is made aware of their compliance obligations. Another key issue identified by the WIA board is to have a new LCD allow greater flexibility to experiment, with amateur radio to remain a self-regulating service with no reduction or downgrading from the current apparatus license principles. This is Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH.
Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, is a member of the board of directors of the Wireless Institute of Australia. Another nation that appears to be getting ready for some level of license restructuring is Austria. This with word that the Austrian National Ham Radio Society is involved in the negotiations with the government telecommunications ministry to create a new Amateur Radio Act. On September 15th, the president of the National Society was contacted by senior representatives of the federal ministry and invited to discuss a contemporary redesign of Austrian amateur radio rules. The invitation notes that the current Amateur Radio Act of 1999 forms the fundamental basis for the amateur radio service in Austria. It provides the basic amateur service framework at the national level, the detailed regulations and frequencies available to hams in Austria. According to the Austrian National Ham Radio Society, the negotiations will revolve around modernizing that nation's rules. This so as they are more contemporary, bring relief in the application process, and also enable such concepts as remote operation. The Society notes that recent experiments with remote operation proceeded without any disturbances or incidents. The Netherlands Ham News reports radio amateurs within 20 miles of the city of Nijmegen lost the use of the 2300 megahertz band on September 21st. This is because of TV, video, and audio links that use the frequencies 2325, 2335, 2345, and 2355 megahertz, each with a bandwidth of 8 megahertz. In the Netherlands, television broadcasters are the primary users of the 13-centimeter band. The article did not say if this loss is permanent or only for a limited time. There will not be a 4-meter band in the United States anytime in the near future, if ever. At least it appears that way after the FCC acts to dismiss a rulemaking request filed by Glenn Zook, K9STH of Richardson, Texas, who had asked that such a ham radio band be created. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has more.
In his filing, Glenn Zook, K9STH, had asked the commission to allocate 70.0 to 70.5 MHz to the amateur radio service. This was based on the migration of broadcast television stations to primarily UHF frequencies, and thereby eliminating any probable interference to television channels 4 or 5. In denying the request, the FCC noted that there is still a trio of full-power broadcasters and more than 100 low-power television broadcasters currently using TV Channel 4 in the United States. The regulatory agency also noted the likely refarming of the broadcast television landscape after the upcoming incentive auction to free up UHF spectrum for broadband. This might mean numerous full-power television stations being forced to relocate to the low-band broadcast allocations that includes channels 4 and 5. The 4-meter band is authorized in several ITU Region 1 nations, including the United Kingdom. Hams in North America have been experimenting with cross-band contacts by monitoring 4 meters while using time coordination and other Region 2 amateur service spectrum to try to make contacts. This is not unlike the so-called old days before ITU Region 1 had a 6-meter allocation. Back then, hams on this side of the Atlantic worked their European counterparts by returning their calls on what were informally known as the 10-meter to 6-meter calling frequencies. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD reporting.
The complete text of the FCC's denial of the petition by K9STH is in PDF format at tinyurl.com/ZOOK-petition-denied. More information regarding current amateur radio operation on 4 meters can be found at tinyurl.com/4-meters-today. In the X up front, word that JH1AJT operating portable from Eritrea went QRT at around 1800 UTC on September 22nd after having made over 4200 QSOs. According to JA1TRC of the FGC radio team, after J1AJT arrives back in Tokyo, they were to begin arranging DXCC documentation and register the operation with Logbook of the World. They will also provide a club log online check and OQRS for convenient QSLing after JH1AJT returns to the FGC office. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the QSO radio show with Ted Randall, WB8PUM, heard each week worldwide on shortwave station WTWW. A sad story to report. James Lindstedt, W9ZUC of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, died following injuries sustained when he fell 95 feet from an amateur radio tower just outside of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Lindstedt, age 59, is reported to have had extensive experience climbing and working on towers. Chippewa County Sheriff Jim Kowalczyk says it appears Lindstedt was wearing a safety harness while on the 100-foot-tall tower, but as he moved around on the tower, he was not safely strapped in. Bureaucracy and red tape has apparently placed a ham radio relief operation on hold to India's flood-ravaged Jammu and Kashmir regions. As this newscast is being prepared, the amateur radio communications team is ready to go, but there are some sticking points. Suru Ram Mohan, VU2MYH, is the executive vice chairman and director of the National Institute of Amateur Radio. He notes that the operation of amateur radio is banned in certain areas like Jammu and Kashmir. As such, ham relief operators cannot jump into action without seeking permission from India's Wireless Planning Commission and Coordination Wing. VU2MYH says that he has written to the agency's wireless advisor asking him to grant the ham radio relief communicators permission to operate from those locations without facing any legal complications. If everything worked out as VU2MYH hoped, the operators should be on station by the time this newscast goes to air. The 2014 ARRL-sponsored National Simulated Emergency Test, or SET, is slated for the weekend of October 4th and 5th. SET, usually pronounced as the word SET, is a nationwide exercise in disaster response and emergency communication, administered by the League's emergency coordinators and net managers, in which volunteers respond to a mock emergency or disaster such as an earthquake or hurricane. SET offers volunteer public service communicators the opportunity to focus on their capabilities, strengths, and weaknesses. This while interacting with national traffic system nets. It also provides a public demonstration to served agencies such as the Red Cross, along with state and local emergency managers. More about this year's simulated emergency test can be found on the League's website using the link tinyurl.com/ARRL-SET-2014. IARU Region 1 has released edition 6.14 of the free VHF Manager's Handbook covering the VHF, UHF, and microwave amateur radio bands. While primarily aimed at activities on these bands in Europe, Africa, and parts of the Middle East, the publication contains quite a bit of information applicable to operations worldwide. This is especially true in the area of planning contact attempts between various IARU regions. The handbook has chapters on band planning, contests, propagation, research, operating procedures, and satellites. It also goes into intricate detail on a number of technical aspects, such as specifying a standard for the use of circular polarization, defining which way helical beam antennas should be threaded. You can download your copy of this informative publication at tinyurl.com/IARU-VHF-handbook-6-14. A public beta release of the weak signal data mode software WSJT-X version 1.4 is now planned for October 1st. WSJT-X is a computer program designed to facilitate basic amateur radio communication using very weak signals. The first four letters in the program name stand for Weak Signal Communication by K1JT, while the suffix X indicates that this version started as an extended and experimental branch of WSJT. Some of the changes in version 1.4 relative to version 1.3 include such items as improved CAT control for most radios, including expanded support for Commander, Ham Radio Deluxe, and OmniRig. Other improvements are the ability to better handle messages that include compound call signs and support for standard localization conventions, to mention only a few. In all, there are 9 specific changes and improvements to the WSJT-X software in this latest release. To find out what they are, send your web browser to tinyurl.com/njabe49 to read the latest WSJT-X manual. an interesting page that measures the transmitter performance of noise element production by a number of popular amateur radio transceivers, has been created by Jim Brown, K9YC. In his research, Brown measured such areas as key clicks, intermodulation distortion, and phase noise. You can see the results of his study on the web, k9yc.com/txnoise.pdf. A new Lithuanian postage stamp features the amateur radio satellites Lithuanica SAT-1 and LitSat-1. The two CubeSats were launched to the International Space Station last January 9th and deployed from the ISS on February 28th. Lithuanica SAT-1 carried an FM transponder and a camera, while LitSat-1 had a linear SSB and CW transponder developed by William Lyonar, PE1RAH. LitSat-1 was the lighter satellite and re-entered the Earth's atmosphere on May 23rd. The heavier Lithuanica SAT-1 remained on orbit until this past July 28. The Boomtown Resort and Casino in the city of Reno has been picked by the Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Society as the site for the 2015 ARRL Nevada State Convention. Known as NVCON, the convention will run May 1st to the 3rd of 2015. More information will be released as it's made available. HAMCOM, the largest amateur radio convention in Texas, announced it will be moving the location of the 2015 event to the Irving Convention Center. The HAMCOM Board of Directors deemed the move necessary due to the increased growth they have experienced over the past several years. For the past several years, the gathering has been held at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. Both locations are near the Dallas metropolitan area and only a short drive from Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Because of its central location, HAMCOM draws attendees from every state and visitors from around the world for the yearly event. The show hosts various American Radio Relay Division events and also has the longest-running Boy Scouts of America Radio Merit Badge program held during the convention. HAMCOM 2015 will be held June 12th and 13th. More on the move and the show itself can be found at www.hamcom.org. The 2015 Dayton Hamvention is soliciting nomination for its Amateur of the Year, Special Achievement, Technical Excellence, and Club of the Year awards. The Amateur of the Year award goes to an individual who has made a long-term outstanding commitment to the advancement of amateur radio. The Special Achievement Award honors someone who has made an outstanding contribution to the advancement of amateur radio, such as spearheading a significant project. The Technical Excellence Award is for the person who has made an outstanding technical advancement in the field of amateur radio. Last, but by no means least, the Club of the Year Award is presented to a radio club which has made a significant contribution to the advancement of amateur radio. Additional details on these awards and a nomination form are available at www.hamvention.org/awards.php. Completed submissions go electronically to awards at hamvention.org or mailed to Dayton Hamvention Awards, P.O. Box 1446, Dayton, Ohio 45401. Must be received by January 16, 2015. The winners will be recognized at the 2015 Hamvention, which runs May 15th through the 17th. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. A rather surprising outcome to a scientific experiment. On September 12th, student scientists from Earth to Sky Calculus in California launched a weather balloon during the most intense solar storm so far this year. They expected to measure an increase in the radiation count. Instead, they measured a sharp drop. The reason for this phenomena is thought to be something called the Forbush decrease, named after physicist Scott Ellsworth Forbush, who first described it in the 20th century. Simply said, when the sun's coronal mass ejection, or CME, sped past Earth, it swept aside many of the cosmic rays that normally surround our planet. More on the unexpected outcome to this experiment can be found by searching for Students Measure Forbush Decrease on the spaceweather.com website. Europe's Rosetta mission team, which intends to land a probe on the 4-kilometer-wide comet 67P later this year, has identified what they think is the safest place to land the small robot craft. Now, researchers and controllers from the European Space Agency have chosen what appears to be a relatively smooth region on the smaller of the comet's two lobes as the spot to send the lander named Philae. Comet 67P is currently some 273 million miles from Earth. The plan is still to make the Philae landing attempt on November 11th. The area where the ESA hopes the Philae probe will successfully set down is designated as Landing Site J. It is reported that Netherlands Public Broadcasting plans to end its medium-wave AM broadcasts. The Netherlands Ham Radio News website says that both the 747 kHz in Flevoland and 1251 kHz in South Limburg are slated to be closed, but no dates for this action to take place have yet been announced. Another European broadcaster is planning to stop all of its RF-based transmissions. Medium Wave Info reports that Deutschland Radio will end broadcasting in the medium and long wave bands by year's end. A press release says that on December 31st, transmitter sites Donnerbach on 153 kHz, Salendorf, and Oranienburg on 177 kHz, along with the Alhoming transmitter on 207 kHz, will close. In all, more than 6 medium wave stations are planned to close by or on December 31st, 2015. On the air, this year's Arizona CUSO party will take place October 11th and 12th. Modes to be used will include phone, CW, and digital modes on 160 through 2 meters, excluding the work bands. The Arizona CUSO party is sponsored by the ARRL Arizona section and Catalina Radio Club. Full information on this event, including complete time scheduling and log submission, is in cyberspace at www.azcusoparty.org. Also, on the near horizon is the 49th annual California CUSO Party, slated to begin at 1600 hours UTC October 4th and running through 2200 hours October 5th. This event is sponsored by the Northern California Contest Club, which invites operators worldwide to take part. More information on this event is on the web at www.cqp.org. Ireland's oldest city, Waterford, is celebrating its 1100th birthday, and ham radio is part of the festivities. Through year's end, the Southeastern Amateur Radio Group is activating the special event call sign EI1100WD on the high-frequency bands from various sites. More information, modes, and logs are to be posted at SEARG.com and on the SEARG Facebook page. NDX N7QT and AB1UH will be active as VK9AN from Christmas Island through October 2nd. This is a suitcase operation on 80 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. QSL via N7QT, direct via the Bureau, or electronically using Logbook of the World. Their next stop will be on Revavay Island in the Australs using the call sign TX5Z. JH3AZC, JH3QFL, and JR3GWZ will be active as V63AZ, V60O, and V63GW, respectively, from Pohnpei Island, Micronesia between October 10th through the 14th. Their operation will be on 80 through 6 meters using CW, SSB, RIDI, and JT65. They also plan a 2-meter moon bounce operation while there using the call sign V60EME, QSL via each operator's home call sign. F4HAU has announced he will activate several African islands during the month of October. These include Reunion Island operating stroke FR from October 9th through the 24th. This will include a side trip to Rodriguez Island from the 13th through the 17th, where he'll be heard operating stroke 3B9, QSL as directed on the air. N7OU will once again be operating as E51NOU from Rarotonga in the South Cook Islands between October 13th and November 9th. Activity will be on 160 through 10 meters using CW only. Operation will be in his spare time as work allows. QSL via N7OU. DL7VOA will be operational as J340 from Grenada between November 22nd and December 6th. Activity will be holiday style, mainly on CW with the possibility of some SSB during his evening and nighttime hours. QSLs for J340 are by the Bureau or direct to DL7VOA. Lastly, N7XR reports on his webpage that the VQ9XR operation from Diego Garcia has been delayed, but that sometime in October looks possible. Activity will be focused on 160 through 10 meters using CW and RIDI with some SSB. QSL via NN1N direct only. No Bureau or electronic QSLs will be accepted for this one. And finally this week, a Penn State University research team has suggested a new technique for industrial-scale production of single-atom layers of graphene. This is one of the strongest materials ever developed, as we hear from Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
Graphene is pure carbon in the form of a very thin, nearly transparent sheet, one atom thick. It is remarkably strong for its very low weight and is said to be many times stronger than steel. It also conducts heat and electricity with remarkable efficiency. But until now, mass producing it had eluded the scientific community. Recently, the Penn State team developed a new way of separating graphene sheets from graphite. The scientists used a technique known as intercalation to produce single-atom sheets of graphene. Using this method, guest molecules, or ions, are inserted between the carbon layers of graphite. Later, the single-atom layers can be pulled apart. Scientists suggested graphene could be used in numerous ways. These include the design and manufacture of more efficient solar cells, improving the form factor of electronic equipment, and launching truly flexible electronic equipment. I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
A study of this new technology has been published in the online edition of the journal Nature Chemistry. It can be found at tinyurl.com/pen-state-graphene. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the Dayton Hamvention, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, from Charleston, West Virginia, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.